Kowalski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Tuesday evening, we're here in the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the Orange Curtain. 1-800-222-5222 is the number if you'd like to be on the program today. Sam at samnation.com is my email. Things not looking good in Houston and Corpus Christi and surrounding areas. Hurricane Harvey is dumping more and more rain, about 52 inches in total. Now, think about that. That's probably more than we've gotten in California in 10 years. It's insane. And the problem with it is that Houston, a lot of people don't realize this, it's just flat. It's flat. You've got these bayous. They're behind the city. So you have bodies of water that sort of surround Houston proper. And then it's flat land at sea level that goes all the way to the Gulf. So the hurricane comes in. It gathers its energy and its water, its wetness, if you will, over the Gulf. It comes out of the land and it just hangs out there. It's been hanging out there for several days. Now it's going back out and may come back in and dump even more water. It's crazy stuff. 52 inches of rain. You've got bridges and roads that are failing. The levees, there are dams and levees in place for various water reservoirs, water accumulation sites, these ditches that are dug that channel water from around. You know, it's what you see this frequently in Texas. If you're driving down the street, they dig out pits, you know, just by the road. They have frontage roads in Texas. It's a little different thing. So they have a little road that goes next to highways. And next to that, frequently by housing developments, you've got these ditches. They're all overflowing everywhere. And the problem when levees break and these dams break, so it's such a big deal. We finally have a mandatory evacuation order in place in parts of Houston, because you've got these levees and dams that may be breaking any minute. They've got the Army Corps of Engineers out there. And there is a difficult question there, which is, do you open the dam and, you know, gradually let more water out into areas that cannot handle any more water? Or do you hold back and hope and pray that these dams don't break? Of course, that creates a catastrophic instant flood that would wash away homes and almost certainly lead to a loss of life. So those are very difficult decisions that are being made on the ground. Meanwhile, the press has had a field day with Melania Trump's shoes. Now, what did I tell you yesterday? That I missed it. Normally, I would say that here on Sam Nation, we nail it. But the problem is, I was talking about what Trump would be wearing today. And I may have nailed that, because he did. Did you see him? He went out in Dockers. He had some kind of boots on, which was interesting, kind of some type of rain boot. Trump only has, by the way, this is interesting, because he only has, I think, three outfits. No, he has a golf outfit. He has a blazer with khakis outfit, and he has a suit. Trump's one of these, you know, guys that believes in a uniform. He's got a look and he follows it. You rarely will actually see Trump out of a suit. So I said it's going to be very important imagery for him to not be in a suit. He doesn't want to show up, you know, visiting a disaster area, in a power tie. And he didn't do it. And he's the first cameras that catch sight of him leaving from the White House, the South Lawn portico, walking over to Marine One, the presidential helicopter. He's there. He's got some kind of a rain jacket with the presidential seal. He's got khakis on. He's got an unbuttoned white shirt. He looks good. And you know who looked even better in my, if I may offer a man's opinion, looked terrific? The First Lady. But she was wearing heels, and the internet literally went wild. No, you would have thought she was wearing a mink stole to a PETA rally. What was the, oh the big well the big deal is you don't wear you don't you know you don't wear high heels to a flood zone. I don't know. At least your heels are out of the water. I don't know what to tell you. And it all became completely irrelevant because as soon as she got on Air Force One, they flew down to Corpus Christi, and they get off the plane and she's now in tennis shoes. So the internet again went wild. That is what the media talks about. Fascinating stuff. At any rate, Trump had a formal meeting at a command center in Corpus Christi. Governor Greg Abbott met him there, actually met him at the airport. And Trump is at this roundtable, nothing really to report from there, very basic stuff. It was kind of a somber meeting going through stuff. He only talked about, really spoke for a few minutes, and then it was mostly the different heads of teams that were there, emergency responders, military, police, et cetera, that were speaking. But then Trump is leaving Corpus Christi. And at this one place, a strip mall, he actually gets out of his limo. He gets out of the motorcade, and he gets up and he gives some short kind of impromptu remarks. I want you to listen to this. So just to understand the imagery, he's on this little kind of makeshift podium. There's a crowd that's gathered, and he gets up. Excuse me. He gets up and he's got a microphone. It's very windy, so the audio is a little bit bad. You're going to have to follow this, but it's good because this is listen to what he says.
I will tell you, this is historic. It's epic what happened. But you know what? It happened in Texas, and Texas can handle anything. Thank you all, folks. Thank you. Thank you.
Now listen to the crowd, what happens when he holds up the Texas flag. Listen to this. He holds up the Texas flag, and the crowd goes wild. It'll be an enduring image. I promise you that. I actually don't think a lot of people are talking about this today because they're busy criticizing, various, from shoes to Trump, talking about ratings with Joe Arpaio, whatever. What he did there was so powerful. Let me ask you this. Do you know a Texan? We joke that Texas is a separate country. It's like it's its own world. And why? Because, Texans are damn proud of being Texans. Texans love Texas. And they love that state flag. Boy, they do. You know this, Robbie, right? I mean, it's a legit thing. Nobody here in California hangs up the California flag and gets excited about it. They say, yeah, it's the best country in the nation. No, it really is. It really is. Yeah. So he gets up there and he breathes. And the symbolism is really powerful because what is going on in Texas right now is the best not only that Texas has to offer, but is the best that America offers. There are rescues every minute happening. People from a guy on a paddleboard to to this Cajun Navy, the people in basically duck hunting boats are out there plucking people off rooftops. There are stories of a neighborhood forming a human chain to save a pregnant woman from a river. A police officer died in the line of duty, taking the long way to work, reporting for duty in spite of the rain, 60 years old and drowned on his way to work. But throughout all of this, what you're seeing in Texas, you're seeing people come together. There are only a few reports of looting. Of course, this always happens whenever you have something like this. And I thought, the first thing that the Texans are saying is, we're going to done put you away for life. They're not, they don't mess around with punishment. If you want to loot, loot in California, boys. Okay, don't, you don't go to Texas. It's like, I remember watching some sort of, I love prison documentaries. I really love the hard time or the Do you know what I'm talking about? Anyway, I love those documentaries. I think, you know, people who are serving these long sentences, it's fascinating. So I was watching one of these, and this guy from California, from Inglewood, ends up in Texas. He's murdered somebody in Texas, or he would drove a getaway car. And he's expressing his shock that he got this like 60-year certain term in jail. He goes, man, in California, nothing would have happened to me. I've been in and out in 8 years. So here's a pro tip. If you want to loot after a hurricane, after a natural disaster, an earthquake, whatever it is, do it in California. You know, you're caught stealing, you're caught robbing somebody, burglarizing somebody's home. It's catch and release. I think they just send out animal control. At least that's how it is here in Orange County. At any rate, what do they do here? That, you know, it's burglarizing a home in Texas carries a 20-year term. They're legit, and they're going for life sentences. They've got a law there that says that if you are committing a regular robbery, armed robbery or unarmed, and you're doing it in a time of disaster, of special need, it carries a special penalty, and that's up to life. So normally, of course, what, you know, the media, how would you expect the media to react to this? I'm fascinated by it. I think it's because, of course, the Washington Post, they've got Radley Balco. Now, he writes a lot of stuff about police that I actually agree with him on. But he writes that it's a supermarket, people are suffering, and it isn't journalism to cover it. This is, what is this? Is this Jean Valjean? Are we talking about, you know, Les Miserables here? Crime is crime. And my point is that there's a reason here why this hurricane, this disaster in Texas is going to look very different when all is said and done than Katrina. And listen closely. New Orleans, I hate to say it, but it is a different place than Houston. Number one, Texans have pride in their state. There is a very, very strong sense of community. I'm not putting down any good people in New Orleans. That's not what I'm getting at. But there is something special about Texas that's different from California, different from Nevada, different from New Orleans, Louisiana. So you've got that. The other side of this, you've got, it's Law and Order Central. That's why I'm bringing up these looter laws. And that's critical to recovering from a disaster like this. You have to maintain law and order. They've got a curfew going into effect. That's important. But your adherence to laws, your adherence to order brings about safe resolution to these types of crises. So Texas has that going for it. Where's New Orleans? You know, we're talking about an area. I'm not going to blame the French, but it's a little less militant. And then finally, you've got Houston, which is, it's the energy epicenter of the universe. It's a very, very wealthy city. There's big business there, not anything really like you have in New Orleans. And so you've got local people who are going to pour some money in. Things are going to happen. Stuff will get fixed. You're not going to see the same thing that happened in Katrina. And this is all independent of what the federal government, what the Trump presidency, the Trump White House does. It's completely separate from that. Because the greater issue is, what does a local community do to fix itself? The federal government can only do so much. Everybody's taking apart what Trump, you know, is going to do or not going to do. And by the way, for the most part, so far, good marks, even from a hostile media. But the real difference between a community that rebuilds and one that doesn't is that community itself. Who's there? Who's it made of? What kind of pride do they have in that community? And what are they going to do? And I'm just telling you, you know, they say don't mess with Texas. I think Hurricane Harvey needs to hear that loud and clear, because and that's why when I played that clip for you and the crowd went nuts when he picked up that flag. First of all, any criticism of Trump that he's tone deaf, that was the smartest, smoothest political move, human move that he could have done, because he knew exactly how to rally Texans. You pick up their flag. It's not going to pull that kind of crap in California. If we had an earthquake here, you think he'd pull out the, oh, here's a grizzly bear flag. You know, we got a commie pinko star on it. No idea how that happened. Hell no. Now, of course, the media is still criticizing him. Don't get me wrong. And there it was, this low blow from CNN. I just don't go anywhere after the break. I got to play this for you because it was lower than a pregnant rattlesnake. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation live here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. A voice of reason in a bewildering universe of nonsense. So yesterday, I got a little bit of pushback. Understatement. A little bit of pushback. I mentioned that thing about Sylvester Turner, the mayor of Houston, and how he refused to put out an evacuation order for Houston. And I said, "Look, this is an interesting thing because he went exactly the opposite of what the governor put out, and some of the local judges. By the way, these local judges, you'll hear them on the news. You know, Judge so and so from County X, and these are like county commissioners. That's what they are. It's a different system in Texas. These are not federal judges or state. They're not typical judges like that hear cases. These are commissioner types, and they're elected positions, and they are important. Okay, but they represent individual counties." Well, at any rate, I felt I needed to explain that. So I said that Sylvester Turner, I suspect, right, that he, you know, that he didn't put out the evacuation order. Why? And I said, well, maybe he wanted to keep some optics of disaster going on in his area. Because, look, I mean, he's a Democrat. He's got an election coming up, I'm sure, at some point. He was in the House, right? House of Representatives in Texas. Then he was, now he's mayor of Houston, and he wants to raise his profile. And I'm just going to say, like, if all, you know, 8 million people evacuate from Houston, if they're all gone, if they all leave the city, is he going to be center stage? He's not. But I don't know. I mean, when we played the clip yesterday of the general, the expert that has led the Rita efforts and Hurricane Katrina, saying, look, at a minimum, You evacuate the homeless, you evacuate the elderly, you evacuate the sick, you do that. And even that wasn't done. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm still sticking to it. So don't, you know, keep hating. Keep sending me those emails. Thank you. What else? Oh, yes. CNN. So I would say overall, look, Trump's handling it. He goes down there. His meetings are really successful. Remember, he's in friendly territory. This is a great asset, optically too. You know, he's not going into a blue state. Texas is red, and they got a Republican governor. They got two Republican senators. So he's on home turf. He's embraced, you know, and Trump goes in there. He has very successful meetings. He holds up the flag. I played you the clip last segment. And now the pontificators in the mainstream media are taking it apart. And in what I thought was a particularly crass and just dumb thing, here's a contributor, a political commentator contributor named Amanda Carpenter, who is on Breonna Keeler's – well, Breonna Keeler was in for Jake Tapper. So it was Jake Tapper's show. And the topic of it was, well, how is the president doing? I mean, what do you think – how is he really conducting himself? Is he meeting expectations? And here's what Amanda Carpenter has to say.
I don't mean this as a knock as President Trump, but this is a man that sold luxury all his life. This is probably his first very real exposure to suffering and strife. He has to make a dedicated, concentrated, sustained effort to keep the eye on Texas. The White House is going to try to pivot to tax reform tomorrow. I think he is going to have to juggle a lot of balls in the air, but you must commit to a sustained focus on Houston. On the campaign trail, he talked about making America great again, rebuilding airports like LaGuardia. You need to start with making Houston and their surrounding area great again first.
Yeah, you can't argue with stupid. Look, number one, liberals always think that only they are the gatekeepers to compassion, to love, to understanding. I mean, these guys at CNN are eating their, you know, their. I promise you that these people eat $250 dinners as a routine. They have no idea what the hell they're talking about. And by the way, Trump showed compassion. And he went into this, you know, he was humble there, and it sold. And by the way, the other point I want to make here, very important. His whole Make America Great agenda and rebuilding goes right into, dovetails almost perfectly into hurricane recovery. So he's going to have a golden opportunity to showcase exactly what his agenda is all about. It's a win-win for the president. And this Amanda Carpenter lady needs to get a grip. All right, John Wolfe up next with the news. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Bottom of the hour, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 1-800-222-5222 is the number. Sam@samnation.com is the email. I just one last little finer point on CNN declaring that President Trump sold luxury his whole life, and that this was probably his very first real exposure to suffering and strife, his visit to hurricane ravaged Corpus Christi in Austin. And his visit up to Austin afterwards. So remember this. Trump was, I believe he's the first president to have witnessed firsthand 9/11. I mean, he was there. I don't know how much greater suffering and strife needs to be. And there are pictures of him walking the street, an event that deeply affected him, by the way. So you guys can shove all your phony analysis. You know where to put it. All right. You know me. If you listen to me, you know me, and you know how much I care about free speech. I will defend it to the end. I defend free speech not only for people that I agree with, but also for people that I disagree with. To me, well, not to me, hell, to me and to the Supreme Court and to our founding fathers, the First Amendment has nothing to do with content. None whatsoever. So, this debate right now, we'll call it the post-Charlottesville debate. And you have these, and I mean, I know it's become such a controversial thing to say, but there's two sides, right? You've got the crazies on the right and the crazies on the left. And the crazies on the left, I'll talk about them, they're called Antifa, and they're violent. And they came to Berkeley on Sunday, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. They came to Berkeley on Sunday, and then there was a peaceful Trump protest, pro-Trump rally. These weren't Klan members. These weren't Confederate soldiers, you know, reincarnated from place in the South. These are just regular Trump supporters. Probably all of them from the entire greater Berkeley area. And what happened is Antifa came along and started knocking them silly. Even the Washington Post condemned it. Now, I have had conversations with people about this, both here on air and also just socially talking to my friends. And one of the things that everybody always says, so I say, look, you know, let bad ideas fail. Let really crappy, hateful things that people say be said so that we all hear it and we can point to them and say, that guy is a moron. That lady over there is nuts. He's a bigot. Let their ideas get out there. And the counter argument that I always hear is, well, Sam, look, you know, but the problem is their words that these people are using, right? These, you know, if you allow a Confederate Klan march, a KKK march, that's going to convert people. It's going to bring people over. And my retort is, my standard comeback is that the truth prevails, that the right prevails. I don't mean right and left. I just mean right and wrong. Because when it comes to bigotry and it comes to hate, it's not a matter of opinion. I mean, it's not. The speech is protected. I always say you can hate. The Constitution allows it. You just can't hit. But I really do see it as just a right and wrong issue, not a right and a left one. So when we come back, I want to talk to you about this guy. His name, I'll tell you who he is. He's a very interesting guy. His name is Daryl Davis. He's a musician, very accomplished pianist, played with Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis. And this guy has converted over 200 Klansmen to leave the Klan. He's convinced Klansmen to leave the Klan. And I want you to hear his words here. I have a series of great statements from him. I want you to hear it in his words, because I think that Daryl has a really powerful lesson for us in this time, where we think that some words shouldn't be said, and that we ought to use our fists, really. I mean, that's what Antifa's saying. These people, they say, you can't even listen to these KKK guys. You just got to beat them to the ground. Wrong. Have a listen to this when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation. Well, if you ride on the freeway, on the roads, anywhere in a car, you've probably seen people do crazy things on the road, right? Cut you off, just pull out of nowhere, slam their brakes on, putting their makeup on, eating. It's terrible. People do insane things. And so no wonder then they cause accidents. And what do they do after they cause an accident? They try to weasel out of it, okay? Oh, it wasn't my fault. The insurance company says, well, technically, that minute they start saying, don't even wait for that. Make sure you've got somebody in your corner that's going to protect you, that's going to cover your money. Okay? Who's that? Who do you think I'm going to say? I'm going to, of course, sweet James Bergner, the attorney that we trust here on the program to make sure that you are protected 100%. All right? Give him a phone call, free consultation. He'll talk to you and he'll go through what you need and give you the advice and direction, because, you know, you don't know what you're doing. And remember, the insurance company, they have this nailed. They have it down to a science. And what's their science? What is it? It's saving themselves money by not paying you out what's fair. All right, don't be a sucker, okay? Call Sweet James. Get taken care of by a pro. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation back, and was just mentioning before the brief timeout here about a guy named Daryl Davis, who is a musician and it appears to be a professional converter of people away from the Klan. Now, the context for this is really important, because a lot of people will say, well, we really need to ban hate speech, because when people say hateful things, when you allow the Klan to march, they recruit, right? It's a recruitment tool. And I think we all reasonable people can agree that more Klan is bad, less Klan is good. Well, let's listen to someone who actually himself is responsible for declanning 200 human beings. Here is Daryl Davis talking about nonviolence. Nonviolence, because remember, this is what Antifa is saying. Antifa, these black-cladded liberal, you know, protesters are saying, we've got to, you can't even talk to Trump supporters. They are so bad, you can't even talk to them. You've got to beat them down wherever they are so they don't come out. I mean, that's legitimately what they're saying. And here, here's Daryl Davis, a guy who's actually converted 200-plus Klan members, brought them back from the abyss, talking about nonviolent social change. Have a listen.
I'll tell you something. When two enemies are talking, they're not fighting. They're talking.
Right.
They might be yelling and screaming and beating their fists on the table to drive home a point, but at least they're talking. It's when the talking ceases that the ground becomes fertile for violence.
When the talking ceases, that's when the ground becomes fertile for violence. You know, and he goes on to say, look, sit down with your worst enemy. Have a listen to this.
If you spend 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, with your arch enemy, you will find that you have something in common with him or her. And if you spend 10 minutes, you'll find you have something else in common. And the more you find in common and you build upon what you have in common, the things that you have in contrast, like skin color, begin to matter less and less.
And do you know what he's really getting at here? You know what the real crux of it is? It's what I and others have been saying till we're blue in our faces. Look, speech is everything. Our founders knew this. This is what makes the foundation of this republic so incredible. Our founders knew that if we were allowed to express our opinions, that just as I said before myself, the truth would prevail. Words matter. And you cannot shut down words with violence. We as a country have got to come together and unequivocally stand up to this. As Americans, our free speech is everything. And it literally can lead us from out of the abyss. I got a few more clips from this guy. Don't go anywhere. You really want to hear this because it's powerful stuff and a good lesson for us in this day. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Back after this.
Talk Radio
790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. There's a guy, Daryl Davis. He's a musician, but he's a professional, a whisperer, a declanner. He's led about 200 people out of the Ku Klux Klan just by talking to them. And he makes a powerful case for why free speech is so important, in my view. Because in the clip I played just last segment, he says it's when the talking ceases that the ground becomes fertile for violence. Now, in order to have a conversation, you can't have any limits on that conversation. The legal framework for this, by the way, it's all in the First Amendment and how it has been supported. I'm just giving you the lawyer's perspective here. It's all been supported throughout the years by the Supreme Court. And one of the most important cases specifically related to the Klan is it happened in Ohio, actually. There was a guy named Clarence Brandenburg. And he was a leader in the Klan. And Ohio passed a law that basically said that you couldn't say anything that advocated crime, sabotage, violence, anything like that, right? You get that. That's kind of where hate speech goes, right? And you say, okay, you can say anything as long as it doesn't hurt somebody. See? Do you know who took his case? Because he got convicted. He's facing jail time. And do you know who took his case? The ACLU. Okay? The American Civil Liberties Union represented an avowed racist, a Klan member, because this was a clear violation of the First Amendment. Now, of course, the Supreme Court stood up for the Klan guy, not because what he was saying deserves to be condoned in any way, shape, or form. In fact, the opinion addresses this. It doesn't matter how vile it is, what you're saying, you're protected. Let these bad ideas fail. Let haters. Let disgusting bigots out there show themselves for what they are. I think countries in Europe where they have hate speech laws, it drives discussion of legitimate issues underground. And the argument, the counterargument that I hear from everyone, people I respect and love, that, oh, well, if you allow people to say hateful things, it's going to recruit people over. Look, the Klan is diminishing. In fact, the Daryl Davis, this guy, he talks about how the Klan completely disappeared in Maryland, completely disappeared. And it's because he won these guys over and was talking to them. Listen to what he says. It's a great line.
When the Imperial Wizard and Grand Dragon became friends of mine and quit the Klan in Maryland fell apart. Today, there is no more Ku Klux Klan in the state of Maryland.
And this guy, by the way, that he's talking about was a bigwig. I mean, he wasn't just a local Klan. At one point, he was the leader of, I think, the Klan in of the entire country. Was that right? Or 11 states. So whatever position that was, not an insignificant figure. And the guy just gave it up. In fact, in this interview, I think this was at the Martin Luther King Center that he gave this talk. Daryl Davis says he pulls out of his briefcase, a very powerful moment. He pulls out of his briefcase this guy's Klan robes. He's got his, you know, and then it pans to the audience. You can see the audience reaction. And do you know what he said about it? He said, you know, he gave me these robes because these don't mean anything to me anymore. You've changed my mind. You've opened my eyes. Truth prevails. Good triumphs over evil. We got to trust in this. And we're so far lost here I think just people are vitriolically opposed to Trump. But I worry that in the debate against Trump, we're really forgetting who we are as Americans. We're forgetting who we are as a people. We're willing to trample our Constitution. I don't think we should give in to this. It's I understand why it's seductive, but this is a very important issue that I'm. We're going to continue fighting for it here on Sam Nation. All right, another hour gone. I don't know where this time flies. Love being here. I really appreciate all of you. Have a wonderful night. Back tomorrow at 7.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.